podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to Stretford Paddock. This podcast is sponsored by Surfshark VPN. Now more than ever, our online reliance has been rapidly increasing. We stream our favourite shows, we keep in touch with our loved ones, we even watch podcasts like The Brew. And we like to think our information is safe, but as our online footprint increases, so does our need for proper security. Yeah, Surfshark is a VPN service that protects your information by encrypting all the data that you send through the internet, keeping anyone unwanted from seeing it. Another great reason to use a VPN is because content from different streaming services don't want you to watch everything in every different country. It's a disgrace. There's certain shows for America, certain shows for Canada, certain shows for Mexico, Venezuela, UK, Netherlands. How about you have access to all of them and get access to everything, whether that's Netflix, Amazon Prime, or even football highlights on Twitter? And with Surfshark, you can solve that problem by simply changing your location. Also, if you do go on abroad on holiday and you're in Tenerife and you're in Falaraki, you still want to watch BBC iPlayer, don't you? You still want to watch Premier League football? Change your location back to the UK while you're gone to get access to all of your home comforts. And currently, Surfshark are bringing you genuinely one of the most ridiculously good deals I've ever heard. Use the link in the description and use code PADDOCK, as you can see on the screen there, code PADDOCK. You will get, wait for this, 85% off, which means for something like a couple of quid a month, you can be fully protected. Plus, you get 3 months for free, and Surfshark also offers a 30-day money-back guarantee. So use the link in the description, promo code PADDOCK, as you can see there, for, again, let me just listen to this, 85% off, 3 months for free, and a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Jay here for Stretford Paddock. This is the Paddock Podcast, and we've brought out all the big guns for this one. You all right?
I'm good.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, okay. If you're all right, I'm all right. So you've got Abdullah with us?
Yeah.
Yeah? Are you sort of feeling a bit of a World Cup non-alcoholic hangover?
It was a great World Cup, to be fair. Perfect ending. Probably one of the best finals we've watched in football, if I'm honest.
In football, not just in World Cup, but in actual football.
Because it was so perfectly scripted. I think Mbappe hat trick, Messi with the two goals. I think the script writers went a bit crazy with that. It's like, there's got to be something fake about that final, isn't it? It's a bit too perfect.
It was all right, but it was no Carabao Cup against Berlin, was it? Come on, let's have it right. Also, we've got Josh Baker returning. George, it's been a while since I joined the channel. Always a pleasure. Did you enjoy the World Cup final or the World Cup in general?
I mean, anyone who enjoys football enjoyed the final. There's a lot to be said about the World Cup, but for what was on the pitch, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, it has been a bit of a controversial one, to say the least, but the football element of it was banged on in the final. Mr. David Pritt, who also joins us. Now, I know you're a bit upset because you've not let go of the Falklands conflict and the hand of God, so you are, do you know what I mean? You wanted France to win.
I did want France to win.
Despite that, could you accept it was a good spectacle?
I only saw the penalty shootout. I didn't really. I had a bad hangover, so I was just relaxing.
Lots of people say my mic isn't working. I hope you can hear me. I'm shouting. The technical team should be on that. I mean, you say now, Abdullah, about the sort of how it panned out. At one point, it looked like it was going to just be a boring game of Argentina just walking it, and France just didn't look at it. We heard this story about the virus and all this sort of stuff, and then it kicked on because that man killing Mbappe.
Yeah, I think it was that. And obviously, like, France just had a manager who, even though I don't rate tactically, actually made changes when they were clearing. And I think we need to see more of that in football. Like, just managers making changes not based on the time frame of the game. Like, 60th minute, like, hour mark, make a change. Like,
what was the Giroud one?
40 minutes. And 40 Kolo Muani brought on, who completely changed it for France.
Yeah, he's
a
good player. And I thought Marcus Thuram, he looks quite a heavy player, you'd say. Especially with the way now his game's changed, he's playing more central. But I thought Mbappe needed someone like that to just bounce off. And obviously it was proven for that second goal. And both of those guys changed the game. And Giroud obviously wasn't fit, according to the reports from the day before. It was great changes. But again, it just makes you think, like, that change coming in at 40 minutes is like, that's what you want to see a manager do. And I think England missed that again. Like, we were here, did the live together, and we were banging on about how yeah, England were on top. They weren't really on top. Just because they had the ball, just because they had the control of the game, doesn't mean you're technically on top, because France had that professionalism and were, felt like they were in a good space where if they got a chance that they would score, because they got guys like Giroud that can deliver, Mbappe, Griezmann. Whereas like England felt that comfort of having the ball. But when France stepped up and gave England so much space, Southgate didn't make the change to bring someone like Rashford on, and the game was screaming out for someone like him. Where
don't get me started on the Rashford.
It's ridiculous.
5 minutes substitution.
And then he waited until France conceded, and it's like, okay, what's the point of having him on now? And then he has one shot all game, and it was actually a decent effort for that free kick. So, yeah, it's just, again, it's just frustrating, because I thought people keep giving this excuse with Southgate that, well, England make it to the semi-final and the final, they lose to the good teams, and it's like, come on, man. Like, that France team, if you look on paper, for me, the best two squads in the World Cup both went out in the quarterfinals as squads. And for me, it was England and Brazil. As a squad, doesn't mean they're a better, like, 11. But I think as, like, a real, real squad, I think you look at Brazil throughout that team. It's, other than the fullbacks, question marks there. But it's a strong team, man. Like,
I don't know what you mean. Alex England's the best left-back in the world, eh?
He was out anyways.
He was when he got injured, didn't he?
But yeah, it was quite frustrating, I think, from England's perspective. We
will get to people in the comments. Get involved in the comments in the chat. I know we will move on to Manchester United, because it's been 32 days since the United last...
Everyone's like praising Argentina, well done for winning the Cup, but they've lost at the end of the day. They've ruined the progression of a young man who scored a winner at Fulham. Was it that long ago at Fulham? And then he's not been able to progress. So the Argentinians going to next few years going to lose out on it.
It's amazing that Argentina won the World Cup without the two best players in the final.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Martinez and Garnacho, anyone who watches football knows they're the two best Argentinians arguably ever.
They'd have won it a week before if they had, didn't
they? they give Maradona a run for his money, to be fair.
Don't forget Veron though.
Oh yeah, Veron as well. I used to love Veron. Oh, absolutely. Well, class now and again, not every week, but yeah, we will move on, don't worry, because we're not here to talk about the World Cup in England, but just on the England front, and just the World Cup in general, George, for United, it's been a successful tournament, hasn't it? When you look, I think the team of the tournament's got Bruno, Casemiro and Maguire in. Obviously, Martinez has won it, Varane was in the final, Dalot's had a lot of minutes and done well, and then you've got the likes of Antony and Fred as well, who've played a part. I mean, sometimes my worry when we have a World Cup is we come back from it and United players tend to be the most hated, or they've had a bit of a stinker or whatever, and it's you've got this sort of hangover from it. But in terms of how the players performed for Manchester United tournament, they all did pretty well.
I think that's a bit of a myth these days now, that the fact that everyone just blames the United player. It happened a lot, like from a 10-year period in the 90s and the 2000s.
I'm still thinking of the Euros as well, though. That's still in my mind.
Yeah, I think it was less to do with United and more to do with other things that were just like unspeakable, really. Yeah. Like the abuse that they got, and it wasn't club based, was it? It would have been better if it had been club based.
No, I think it was more race based, to be brutally honest about it. It wasn't just about missing penalties, was it? But I think the sort of, you're right, because I still have that memory, of the effigy of Beckham, the dartboard on the back of the paper. I think it isn't as bad. And we were talking just off camera as well about this England team, whether you like England and think, I mean, you're a diehard England fan, you prefer England over United, don't you? But this England team is a lot easier to get behind. I'm only joking, by the way. It's a lot easier to get behind than previous England teams where there's been a few players that you just not like.
It's 100% because they've actually got something to say as well. Like, and there seems to be an evolution in like the intelligence of footballers off the pitch lately. Certainly, I mean, it certainly aligns with my views, like the stands they take and things like that. I'm proud to see it from an England team. And as we were discussing before we started recording, having the England team with the likes of Terry and Gerrard in it, it was incredibly difficult to get behind.
It was.
And so it's really refreshing now to just see like a decent group of players. And it's one of the things that I know a lot said about, a lot of people say it's an excuse for Southgate, the way he's got the players together and like the unity that he's formed in the camp for England. But it does seem to have an effect. And for me, like, Southgate certainly isn't perfect, like with his substitutions and his tactics, but I just don't see who would be a decent replacement at this point, to be honest.
Dave's got an opinion on that, and if you want to see that, that's on TikTok.
To be fair, reading in the comments on it, I'm getting a bit of support.
I know there was a few, because Dave, who did you say could take over from Gareth Southgate?
Steve Cooper, and I stand by it.
That's fine. Now listen, do you know what I mean? If you like Steve Cooper and you think he should be the next England manager, fair play. This was before it was announced that Southgate was sticking on it. John Shin in the comments. We love John Shin. Great to see him. He's just before we get on to Jonathan as well, because I forgot to do this. We've got an event in Dublin on the 30th. It's going to be me, Joe Smith, Adam McCullough, Stephen Howson, and Brian McClare. We're going to be in Dublin on the 30th. I've just put a link in the chat. If you can come down and support us, you can see a little graphic there. See down there somewhere. Please do. We'd love to see your support down there. Our first live event as Stretford Paddock. We're looking forward to it. John Shin is in the chat, and he was asking there, just before we do move on from the World Cup talk, your favourite World Cup moment. Dave, will start with you. What's your favourite moment of this World Cup?
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
That is that's a tough question.
Do you want to come back to
yeah, let me. I need to think about that.
George, have you got one that's?
No, you're gonna have to come back to me.
Right. I'll go with. It's not a singular moment, but it's just the way that we've seen what Harry Maguire can do as a player, and I think that this World Cup will be amazing for him. I think he'll come back and he'll actually get into the team a bit more. And
really?
I really think so. Yeah, I think he'll get a shot, and hopefully it'll build his confidence back up.
The only flaw with that argument, I agree, he's had a very good tournament. He's in the team of the tournament. I think the official one, which is his second tournament. I think he's won that. He's got into the team of the tournament. If anyone cares, I think the problem he's got is two defenders in front of him both got to the final. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, no, he had a good tournament, but then he's like, I know Minas didn't play in the final, but he got there. And he played his part in getting there, and obviously Varane's Rafael Varane.
But at the end of the day, he's still got that captain's armband on him as well, hasn't he?
We'll have to see, because I think with Varane, there's always that worry with me that he could end up getting a knot. I hope he doesn't. But Abdullah, what was your moment? I mean, you were over there for a little while, weren't you?
Yeah, I'd have to pick one of the games, obviously, I was at. It'd be hard not to say Marcus Rashford against Wales. I think just scoring that.
When Marcus scores, I feel like you've scored. Because you've backed that kid.
I was right there as well.
No other person has
still no
it.
Tattoo.
I know. I keep getting stick. It's in the poke, right? Don't worry. I said I'd get a tattoo if he scored. So one day I will get a Marcus Rashford tattoo on my neck. Do you know what I mean? I didn't put a time frame on it, but it will happen.
Well, yeah, I think even the Iran one might be up there just because like, I had that relief of he got on, oh, he's got a World Cup goal, but... That free kick and the second one on his left foot was, I was up close at the bottom, and you could just like, even his family were just on the bottom right, and you could just see how much it just meant. So I think it's those moments like that, you know, for a Manchester United player who's come through the ranks, it's just special. But I think if I had to pick like a goal, it'd be just Richarlison. Like
Richarlison.
Watching that was just...
It's got to be...
You were there.
Yeah, Richarlison's on. With the Brazilian goons behind the net.
I love it when you was doing your video and Fred was having a shot as you were talking. He was doing a video for us. He's like doing it and he's behind it. You can see Fred having a shot from 20 yards away.
I was like, what a great effort, but I didn't clock it was Fred. Yeah, and then I messaged you. I was like, that's Fred, isn't it?
Abhinav Verma's in the chat. He says, the virus in the French camp around the same time as the Pogba visit to Qatar. Coincidence? Lol. I'm just done with Pogba chat. Fair enough, Abhinav, for getting involved, but I know it's only a joke, obviously, but yeah, it was one of them, was the whole Pogba thing.
You blamed England, didn't they? The air conditioning or something.
What?
The French, didn't they blame England's air conditioning?
What England's air conditioning?
Yeah, I saw that going around.
What, in Qatar?
They got ill from...
From the... to be fair, that stadium's air conditioning. They're blaming in that game, innit?
No, but they're saying that England caused people that were ill.
Oh. Yeah. It's weird.
Why did we control the air conditioning?
No, but we, you know, the English breath went into the air conditioning.
England players
and
breathing
came back out.
Is the reason France failed. Yeah.
That is mad.
Mate, whatever. George, have you got a favourite moment or favourite?
It's got to be that free kick that the Holland scored against Argentina.
Yeah.
I was just. Wow, what a moment!
That game was sick, wasn't it?
No, yeah. Mbappe yesterday though. Like, I wanted Argentina to win. But Mbappe, like when that second goal went in, you're just like, this is football. This is what it's about.
And you know, right at the end, who was that kid who went through for France right at the end? I know you don't watch
Colomani,
almost the last kick of the game in the World Cup final. Mm. Almost if he squares that, you think Mbappe could have maybe got his fourth there. Imagine
Mbappe gets four goals and a hat-trick.
And the winner, like, 23 years old, the goal.
He's already taken the piss here, because... A hat trick in a World Cup final. Well, has he got 10? World Cup goals all right?
Something daft like that. Yeah.
Like, he's already
got four
like,
at the last one.
Yeah, was it 12, I think? And he's 8 this
no,
one.
Oh, yeah, 12. One. 12. The guy's a joke.
So 12 World Cup goals.
He's got like another 10 years minimum. That's like, that's without maybe he just goes mad and just becomes like a number 9 and he's just going to tap everything in until like he's 37. Like, my man's going
to
go.
Do you know what? I hear this. Excuse me, Nick Albany says, John's reaction to that career result is the best moment of the World Cup.
Oh,
yeah. It is up there, right? John Shinny comes on the channel. Yeah. His background is South Korean. And he was watching that game. And as they were scoring, he was crying. He was, honestly, it was just all the emotions. You could see he's absolutely loving it.
I loved his tweet afterwards where he's like, neighbours were worried about him.
Mate, when he lives in New York, right? And when we beat Paris Saint-Germain in France, when Marcus scored that penalty, the neighbours called the police on him. So the police came out of his house and he's got footage of it, like them knocking on his door saying like, what's going on? We heard screaming. And he's like, nah, I'm just watching United and that. And they were like, oh, right, okay. Because he went that berserk. They thought someone was being murdered. So yeah, John's video, it should still be up on his channel. Go and check out John Shin's video. It's absolutely brilliant. That is one of the highlights of the World Cup. Anyway, one of the highlights of Christmas, yeah? Tis the season, 4 clean balls, la la la. Our friends at Manscaped are helping you clear your driveway for safe travels this holiday season. From stocking stuffers to gift exchanges, Manscaped's products are at the top of everyone's wish list. So grab some crop mops for your pops and shampoo for your boo, yeah? Be the start of gifting season and help all the men in your life go from eggnog, and this is going to have to be explained to me, from eggnog to nice hog, yeah? I think it's a reference to you know, down there. This December by going to manscaped.com and getting 20% off using the code DEVILS20, because with this platinum package, right, they're pulling out all the stops for Christmas. You're getting the usual stuff that is great. You're getting the weed whacker for your nose and hair. You're getting the crop preserver, the crop toner, all the deodorant and nice smelling stuff for down there, the anti-chafing boxer briefs and all that good stuff. You're getting the shears 2.0, but you're also getting a lawnmower 4.0, as you'd expect, all part of the performance package. You've got the lightweight, crit giant, easy to apply moisturizer for your hydrating body spray. I mean, what more do you want, yeah? You've got this skin-safe technology, you've got the 4.0 technology, you've got all the best stuff there. So for Christmas, your sack is gonna be better than Santa's, yeah? Go and check out Manscaped. 20% off, manscaped.com. Devils20, there's a link in the description, yeah? You will be at the top of it. That should be at the top of everyone's wish list. I get it every year and I start dishing out to the in-laws, and now I'm like the favorite in-law, so go and check it out. Big shout out to manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. Thank you guys well for leaving me to get on with that, because I know you're all itching to get involved in there with the Manscaped tackle, but I've sorted it.
Not sure itching is the right word.
Itching is not the right word. With Manscaped, you never itch, by the way. That is a guarantee. Well, it's a guarantee I've just given you. It's been 32 days since the last Manchester United game. Yeah. Now, the World Cup's been a nice little distraction, you know, if you care about that, and winning the World Cup, and Messi's won the World Cup, and Mbappe's going hat-trick in the final, yeah, whatever. Right, but the real football starts on Wednesday, Burnley at home, Carabao. Now, there's a bit of intrigue to this one already, isn't there? Because you've got Vincent Kompany as the manager of Burnley. They're flying. Mm-hmm. We don't know who's going to be available for Manchester United because of this World Cup palaver. George, I'll start with you. Are you concerned, worried, excited? How do you feel about this game?
As you say, it's just a complete... it'll be a complete surprise who plays, I think. But Maguire's in a bit of form, and it's nice to be able to say that sentence. So, you know, he certainly should get a place ahead of Varane, and Martinez should still be partying in Argentina. So it'd be interesting to see how he does against some championship strikers.
Yeah.
Other than that, yeah, it'll just be nice to actually see a United game again and see what happens and give a few players a chance, given the amount of people that have been out in Qatar.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one as well. There's less fans, I think, in the ground because reduced this capacity, thing going on with the... Is it 62,000 instead of 76?
They closed the third tier of the North Stand and then the second tier of the Stretford... the East Stand, don't they?
I mean, I should know more about this, to be honest with you, but I've done that proper selfish thing of checking my messages and seeing it's not me and my seat that's affected, so just being proper... Do you know what I mean? Now, 60 was not, you know... It's all about me and I'm all right, which isn't the right attitude. Dave, how do you feel about this game? Because there's a part of me that feels like... I'm always wary of saying the third round of the League Cup is a big game, but we want to win trophies, and this is probably your best chance of winning a trophy against a very good Championship team. Burnley are doing very well in the Championship, so it's not a pushover, is it?
Yeah, it's one of them where we don't really know what the team's going to be at all. We don't know the players that are going to be involved who are involved in the World Cup. It's a shame, you know. We've had this World Cup and we're like, right, let's get a game, and it's League Cup against Burnley, and it's not that umph, is it? And it's Wednesday night, 8 o'clock, going to be cold, it's probably going to rain.
It's like weird when you say it out loud, Burnley on a Wednesday night. It sounds rubbish, doesn't it?
It does.
Do you know what I mean? It's like one of those games where you go, oh, it's Burnley in it. But, you know, I am excited, I'll be honest with you, because I've not been to Old Trafford for ages. It's United. I've not seen United play for over a month.
The last midweek Burnley home game as well, from what I can remember, didn't exactly go very well. It was 2-0 at Burnley, was it? That was just before COVID?
That was the one.
It was one of the worst.
That was one of the worst. Moments. That was the one that... I honestly thought
that broke me.
Yeah. Was that you? You did a reaction afterwards, didn't you? I think you were broken close after to tears.
That. Like, I was just like, I wasn't even.
Horrendous.
It was like I gave up with football, honestly, after that.
Well, I thought that's the end of Ollie.
I thought it was the end of Manchester United.
Yeah. I it amplified all the hatred we had towards the Glazers. It was just like, look, we're never ever going to get anywhere with these. This is just ridiculous. Now Burnley are coming here and battering us. And then we bought Bruno. And went on a 21-game unbeaten run and finished third. That was unreal, that run.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I mean, I know there was mitigating circumstances because of COVID. Like you said, George, there was a break. With players who were injured came back. We were talking about that game, though, the other day on the channel. And if you look at that team, it wasn't a million miles away from the team that actually finished the season. It was only like three players, I think.
Well, I remember at the time everyone was talking about Bruno, how just that one player can change your team, and he really did. I mean... Don't get me wrong, he's still a decent player now, but when we first got him, the way he just, every game he had, he was just amazing, 10 out of 10 getting. And I think he pulled us to get into that position, because before that, it was grim for a little while, wasn't it?
We've got a weird record against Burnley as well. I mean, we've drawn a few, haven't we?
I mean, I remember going Burnley away a few years ago. Martial scored and we won 1-0. Still to one of the worst games I've ever been to.
Oh, I went to that as well. Yeah.
I think Carrick was there, wasn't he?
I think. But was he still? Wait. Was
I think
still
he was. I think he was in the stands.
Oh yeah.
But
yeah.
Oh god,
I remember Lukaku. Was Lukaku still playing? Wasn't he?
I remember us losing. We lost to Burnley once when Michael Carrick missed the penalty at Turf Moor. We drew with him 1-1 away at Burnley last time. I think this is from the Burnley perspective. So. I mean, to be fair, we've won a few against him. I don't know. There's a 2-2 there, I remember, and a 0-0. I think it's that 0-0 that sticks in my mind. Was that the one where Tom Eaton had the game of his life?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a joke.
Tom Eaton was like the best goalkeeper ever.
Got him back now.
That's why we got him. Yeah. It's a bit of a weird one, Bill, because obviously we've beat him far more times than we've lost, but they're a bit of an odd one. And I have all this sort of... players not being back, they've been playing games, and I tell you what didn't help, the friendlies.
Yeah,
because the friendlies just made me more.
That's what's worried me a bit. That game me and you watched.
Yeah,
it was.
Was that horrible? Like, listen, and I just want to add something. I get that a lot of the youngsters were at, you know, they don't play that often, and I'm not having a dig at them because you know I know it was not like it was a Premier League game. And
it was just
all the players.
It was just awful.
But it was just as a spectacle, it was terrible to watch.
I mean, during the watch along, Jeff. I think we talked about the football for about 5 minutes.
Honestly, yeah, I can't even remember. Did we lose 1-0 and lose another 4-2? Yeah, was it Cadiz?
I didn't watch a single minute of that 1-0 one.
Oh, you're lucky.
It was England France after, didn't I? And I come.
Yeah.
But do you know what it is? We had a good pre-season, didn't we? Sort of. I think other than that, like, last game against Villa, and then we started the season, we just got slapped about by Brentford and Brighton. So, like.
It felt like
Brentford. Hopefully it goes the other way
that
around.
That Brentford game. Do you know what?
I'm talking about something breaking me. Oh,
Brentford.
Broke me. That finished me off. I thought that was the end.
What I said on the preview? I said on the preview we'd lose 3-0. Right? Honestly, I know it's the only one of the few times I've been remotely sort of accurate. Because I thought Brentford, I'd seen him the week before and he played really well. And against Brighton, we looked all over the gaff and I thought, you know what? If they get out, we could be in trouble here. So I said, I could see us losing this comfortably 3-0. I was getting pelters. Honestly, I was getting hammered. And like, obviously we lost 4-0, so I was wrong. But it was like, this is horrible. This is, something's got to change. Then you fast forward to the Liverpool game. It's like a different team. Mm. The Liverpool game, and I thought the atmosphere was great. Everyone was up for it. I expected it to be a good atmosphere against Burnley as well. And you think we'd be too strong for him. But then after the Burnley game, you've
Burnley
got...
Burnley are good, man.
They are good. You've got Forest, you've got Wolves, you've got Bournemouth, you've got Everton. I mean, the games, and then you've got City at home. On my birthday, funnily enough, 14th of January, if anyone's wondering. So you've got the games coming thick and fast. For you, George, what's your priority as a fan like? Is there one where you go, it's just got, we've got to get top four, or we've got to get silverware, or we've got to, you know, have you got sort of a preference on what you want to see United doing?
For me, like, it's the main reason you got me on, really, isn't it? It's like, it's the integrity of Manchester United which matters to me more than anything. And obviously we've seen very little of that, not next to none in the last 17 years. And obviously silverware's important, particularly now. It's been, what, over 5 years now, essentially. So, but for me, like, I haven't been, aside from one freebie that I went on recently, like, I've not been to Old Trafford in 17 years.
Yeah, just to give a bit of a context here, we've had George on a few times. You may remember him when he came on Devils and he's been on Paddock. George is one of the first sort of, or one of that group who went and helped with forming FC United, is that fair
That's
to
right.
say?
Yeah.
Forming FC United, yeah, found a member of FC United. So when the Glazers, I mean, pretty much when the announcement was made, wasn't it, that you guys were having none of it?
Straight out of there.
So when the, you know, when the Glazers were announced at taking over Manchester United, a group of fans, including George, said, not having any of this, this is a disaster and this isn't what Manchester United should be about. And I fully respect that, because it annoys me when people go, United fans only moan and complain when things are going badly. You know, in 2005, we were sort of, you know, 2 years previously, we won the title. You know, we'd won the...
Just lost an FA Cup final as well.
You know, United were one of the most successful teams in the country, in the middle of the...
And they continue to be because of Ferguson's genius,
And you guys walked away from that and said, nah, it's not for us. So with that in mind then, you've done the hard slog over the last 7 years. When you're here now, when you see that statement by the Glazers that...
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Looks like it could be the end game. How do you feel about that?
There's a healthy skepticism there, because you don't know whether or not they're announcing this in order to, like, raise stock prices, get increase the value of the club, or if they're just going to sell off parts of it. You know, like, you have absolutely no idea what's going to happen until somebody actually comes in and buys it. I remember Mike Ashley saying he was going to sell Newcastle. What, in like 2009-10, because of fan protests, and it only happened...
When was it, producer Ethan? When did Mike Ashley say he was going to sell Newcastle? Do you know?
He said he was going to sell us.
First time.
I'll have to look.
Thanks for that.
It was
that
a long time ago. Anyway, it was a good decade, I think, until the Saudis came along. And yeah, I've got
it was
a feeling.
A long time.
Yeah, I've got a feeling something similar might happen here.
No.
I know there's a lot, you know, Manchester United is a much more in-demand football club for people who can afford to buy it.
Yeah.
But, even if a takeover does happen, the idea that everything's just going to be all hunky-dory and we're not going to have any problems with any new owner, that's not going to be true. And that's not just from a, you know, a financial perspective of the club. You know, you don't know what their priorities will be. It's also just an integrity issue as well. I mean, it all depends for me on who buys Manchester United.
I agree completely.
Like, if obviously the private investment fund of Saudi Arabia own Newcastle, so the state of the Saudi state can't buy us, but private wealthy individuals from the Middle East could. And I mean, And that in itself raises its own ethics question. Sir Jim Ratcliffe as well, everybody's going on about, oh, it'd be great to have a United fan in charge. Is he that much of a United fan? Or is he a billionaire first and a United fan way
down? If you're a billionaire, when do you have time to watch United?
He said he's a United fan trying to buy Chelsea. What's that about?
Yeah, he said, I did go to United when I was young. But what made me laugh about that is he said, I went to watch United when I was younger, but I live in London now, so I can't get there anymore. And I think, well, you can. I've been a student in London, and I got to Old Trafford on a coach. So I'm pretty sure if you're a billionaire, you can get a helicopter or a flight. Do you know what I mean? I think that was
if you really cared, you'd get a private jet.
I think the problem is, there's not the perfect billionaire owner is, though. Let's have it right. That's going to come in and take over the club and you go, do you know what? They're lovely. They only care about United. They've got no skeletons in the closet. They've got nothing to disagree with about their politics or their, the way they've made the money. They're all, you know, sunshine and rainbow.
But it's so naive to think that as well. And, like, it really disappointed me when I saw, like, one of the protests, one of the anti-Glazer protests, I think one of the 1958 ones, with a banner with his face on it. And you're like, look, how do we know he's going to be this benevolent billionaire? That we've no idea whether or not he will be. I'm sure he'll be better than the Glazers, but then who wouldn't be?
Yeah.
But, like, the idea that a billionaire isn't going to want a return on his investment, that's just not how their brains work.
No.
You know, the reason the billionaires.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there a happy medium, do you think, George? Is there a way that, okay, someone comes in and they do come in and they want to make money, right? Because it is a business to a lot of these billionaires. And I understand that. I think it's naive to think a billionaire's coming in because they've got, you know, poster Brian Robson on the wall when they were a kid or whatever. But is there a way that they come in and they make money, but Manchester United is in the black and has success? Do you think that could happen? Or are we being naive to even think about that?
Yeah, I mean, that could happen. But it also, for me, one of the main reasons I walked away from going to Old Trafford is just the match day experience. And, like, I know things have improved over the last few years with the TRA and safe standing and things like that. The atmosphere's a bit better now as a result. But, like, if the club does... Like, I remember the same argument was when came up in the late 90s when Sky B wanted to buy United. Oh, we'll have all this money to buy all these players and everything. And it's like, well, where does that leave the match-going fan? Mm. You know, and I don't know. There's no guarantee that just because we'll have a better owner than the Glazers, that the match day experience will be better for fans, whether it would be ticket prices, whether it would be less draconian laws about selling your ticket to your mate and things like that. And it's barely a week goes by. I don't see a tweet where someone's been, like, reprimanded by United in some way or another for just letting their mate go on their ticket. And it's that kind of culture that needs getting rid of. Will that change with a different owner other than the Glazers? I don't know.
Where do you stand on this, Abdullah? Because you're someone who, you know, a match-going fan who, you know, does go quite a lot. Have you still got a season ticket?
Yeah, I've still got a season ticket. I've had a season ticket on and off over the last few years.
It's a valid point, I know, but, you know, what does this mean for everyone?
To be fair, I've basically been going consistently to watch United, I'd say, probably since Sir Alex has gone. Like, I went quite a few times in Sir Alex's last couple of season when I was younger. Like, obviously my dad's a Liverpool fan, so I never
really
I didn't have anyone to, like, go on, you know, take me to a couple of games. Well, I did go in awaiting and stuff, but watch Ronaldo, that Rooney, Tevez era on one or two occasions. But as a consistent match going fan, I think I've seen a lot of the difficult times, and I think I do agree with the match day experience, such a key part of it. I don't enjoy it as much, if I'm honest, in recent times. Yeah. Like, I don't really go out of my way as much as I used to make sure I'm at a game. I think obviously I'm at that age where now things get busy and stuff like that, but sometimes I even just say, you know what, I want to get on the watch along with the lads, and I end up watching it. I wanted to be there every week. I was the same as a young kid. It changes, but I think even in the stands, like, I do like the idea of TRA.
I'll be honest with you, I'm in the TRA and I enjoy it.
I enjoy it.
My first experience.
I would. Yeah.
I used to be in J stand and it was a bit dead out. TRA, and also I'm with my mate, so I only see it at the game. So that for me is a big part of it. It's a chance for me to catch up with them, have a laugh. Do you know what I mean? And
see, I had that for a period.
That is a big part of my, you know, social life as well as watching.
It makes a difference. Like, I had that for a period with my first season ticket was with Van Gaal.
To be fair,
that was before the proper boring.
Was that the first season?
That was the first season. Was all right.
The second season. We were doing the United stand quiz and the stands and all that.
I was sleeping.
Taking a deck of cards.
But to be fair, I'll give him one thing. I only found this out by the end of the FA Cup, but I went to every single FA Cup game in that Van Gaal, home and away. I don't know how it happened, but but that was the old exciting part about Van Gaal's second season. Every round of the FA Cup,
That final.
Shrewsbury, Everton,
I was in the press box for that final. And I was like trying to be professional. Do you know what I mean? I'm in the press box for the FA Cup final. I'm surrounded by the
journalists. Did you wear a suit?
Do you know what I mean? Nah, I wore a shirt. Do you know what I mean? So I was like, right. So when Matt has scored, sort of contained myself, obviously. You know what I mean? I'm here to do a job. When Jesse scored, man, I lost it. I just lost it. I was just like,
you can't.
I didn't give it a toss.
I think what made it better was obviously Smalling got sent off just before it, didn't he, as well?
Yeah, I forgot about that, you know. Yeah.
So we were down to 10 men. Yeah.
Like when I watched that game not long ago, like the highlights, and I forget. Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
You know who they were absolutely killing Rashford that game. You know, they were hacking him down all game, and the ref wouldn't give a yellow. That pissed me off all game. That because they should have had a red, to be fair, like before, and then Smalling had to do that to Bolasie.
Do you know what I mean? It's weird with Angar, wasn't it? Because there was
such
horrible football, but you know, Anfield. The 4-2 against City.
The Martial.
If he was just like, his job was to be at Carrington and do the press conferences, say hello to the players, but then we had like an assistant that really did the dirty work and did the work, he'd be amazing.
He just like, against City, he was a laugh. He got it right quite a lot, but then, you know, you come up against Stoke or Bournemouth or Norwich, and it was like.
Remember one of my favourite runs, probably like post Sir Alex, was that Spurs Wayne Rooney after like he fucking, what's it called? He got knocked out and his.
Oh, yeah, the 3-0.
And then the 3-0. Then we played Liverpool.
Yeah.
And then we played City. And we had those three games and everyone was like, oh, no, we're done.
I remember being...
And we had to win them three games.
I remember how excited I was by Adnan Januzaj. Like, in the post-Fergie era.
Not long. There's video evidence of just saying some rather ridiculous things about Adnan Januzaj. I'm not going to lie. There's some of us saying it about Cameron Borthwick-Jackson as well. I'm not going to start naming names.
Them crosses were...
Beckham-esque, I think, was the someone said on a video. But Dave, you look at that run. Do you have a sort of preference? I know we're talking about, obviously, sorry, the Glazers as well. I'll start with the Glazers and I'll get onto the run. Where do you stand on this? Because, you know, it's weird for me because when I first heard the news about Glazers, I felt like excited, like finally, you know, like ding dong, Lewis is dead and all that. And then it's like George is saying, and you think, hang on a minute.
we've talked about this before.
Next
where
on the horizon.
It's... People need to be careful because people hate the Glazers that much, and it's understandable that it's just take whatever you can get, and you can't do it that way because it could be worse. You know, we don't know what these people's backgrounds are and what they actually want to do with the club. They could rip it apart and just do what they want. Oh, well, this will make money, this won't, and it could be one of the worst things that could happen.
The one thing I've said that, well, not the only thing, I've said a lot of things about new owners, but I do hope they back this manager. I do hope they stick with this manager because it's easy for an owner to come in and go, right, I'm an owner now, this is my club, do what I want, he's going, and I'm bringing in, you know, a big name manager, you know, I've convinced Carlo Ancelotti or someone to come on, I don't know, he's, you know, otherwise engaged, but I'm going to, you know, bring in a big name, forget about him, because this is my guy. I don't want to see that, because I like tonight, and I think he's doing a good job, and I think if he's got
someone
who's backing him, I think we can have success under tonight. I don't want to see him sort of end up getting...
It's why I'd prefer, like, it's hard to say. I prefer someone like Jim Ratcliffe because I know he knows English football. But then you look at like what Newcastle went through. Mike Ashley knew English football, and
it's difficult. Yeah. And there's no easy right answer because the other week we were linked with Amazon. And everyone's going, "Oh, great Amazon!" I'm like, "You think Jeff Bezos gives a shit about Manchester United? Got some magic beans to sell you?" Do you know what I mean? Like
the Apple thing's dead as well. It was long ago debunked, and it's just I mean, it is a matter of if not when a tech company gets involved with a football club.
Would you really want that though?
No, that's what I mean. Like, I don't think
the
it would
iPad
be.
Arena.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to necessarily be a good thing at all because what they care about is the streaming rights. That's why they're getting involved.
Can't come in unless you've got the ticket on the latest iPhone.
I think one of the major things modernizing the area in around Old Trafford's always been a thing for me. Like, now I don't live too far from the ground, I walk over. And a couple of occasions I've not lived far from Old Trafford and I go on a match day walk and stuff. And I've come from different sides of the ground.
Where did you used to live near Old Trafford? Whereabouts?
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
I lived in the Keys for a bit and now I live in natural, like, Old Trafford. Oh, so, okay. Yeah.
Just curious, I'm not what you're
not in the actual ground.
The stadium does need strong investment. Like,
the stadium.
The stadium does, but
it's even around it.
Yeah,
like,
but the thing about so much space. I know, but they own so much of that land. And people say, oh, they should do this and do that. But the amount of money they're making on car park spaces, there's a reason why they're not doing anything. Like, yeah, people pay 500 quid a year. You look at all them cars, they make absolute...
Good point, actually, about the car park.
They make so much money on it. Yeah. It's, why would they build a bar and stuff? Because they make more money on that.
No, boys, forget that. Like, why don't you build facilities like with what City did? Like, having everything close, like, so for example, doing like, I don't know if you could do like a player facility there, like maybe even moving the, I don't know if it's possible to move the training ground there, but an academy ground. That's
well, don't well, let me start well, them academy
well,
ground.
The area campus is, so is like, the difference begrudgingly is impressive.
City's owners have got all this money and they, yeah, we can do this, do that, because guess what? I'm not worried about if we
it's
make
enough
money.
It's not just the money, though, is it?
No, it is because...
one of the reasons they bought Manchester City was because of all that land.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, but, it's not... The, I mean, you know...
But with the current ownership, the whole area like academy changed, stadiums and stuff, and do this and do that, like City. They don't want to do it because it's like, we're not going to make money off it. That's what, at the end of the day, what they're thinking, and they've got every right to, really, because it's their business and they want to do it. That's why I'm worried about if we get the new owners in, the people are going to be saying, what can we make money on? What it's not about what's best for the football club, what's best for me earning money back.
It's about the vision every owner, we don't know what the vision is going to be. So I do agree with you. I think those concerns are there, but you'd be smart actually to come and say, you know what, you've got Salford Quays just over the road there. The city centre is not far either. I think Manchester, in general, is a growing sort of, you know, we see things being built in around the city and Deansgate and stuff like that, and things are going up, and there's an opportunity there anyway. So wouldn't you want to be part of that? Like, building that area up, which lacks a lot anyways. Like, when you look what's around it, like the centre, like I said, the Quays and stuff, like, that area has potential to do something there. And even from a business perspective, if you're building, like, an academy stadium, that can be used in certain other ways. And I think City have just continued to add things. So I think it's just the vision whichever owner has, I think, can benefit Man United. Of course, you can't be naive and say the owners aren't going to want certain things out of it. So I think you can't really, you know, card it until we see it, like I said. So it's a bit of a weird
You've got to look at it from the business point of view as well, which, I mean, it's awful we've got to even say, like, we've got to see it from the business point of view. But if you're a foreign investor looking to buy this club and it's like registered in Britain and all that, they're not used to paying them kind of taxes either. If they're running a business and they go, hang on, why am I paying this 50% tax?
It's exactly it. Like, the fact that we have to talk about, like, the business side of things, like, what's depressing about the whole thing is I don't think Manchester United will ever be ever be controlled by its fans. Fan ownership in football clubs, like, at all, even in the late 90s, was non-existent. There wasn't even a non-league club that was fan-owned. 20-odd years down the line, we've had teams that are in the top tier that were fan-owned or at least controlled by a trust. So it's not like it's not like a complete pipe dream. It might sound like it is, but that's kind of a depressing thing for me, that the fans will never be fully in control. And if you hark back to 2005, Shareholders United were very, very close to getting a majority shareholding to stop the Glazers, and that wasn't too long ago. So the idea that it couldn't happen again, I live in hope.
Yeah,
but in the meantime, we've got an AFC, and it's a decent model fan ownership.
Good stuff. No, definitely. You know, you certainly, you know, put your money where your mouth is in terms of doing that and going and doing that. And fair play to you. Nick Albany in the Super Chat says, Apple or Amazon is a pretty solid option. It's all about possible content. 1.1 billion potential viewers. Also, 6 to 8 billion is peanuts for Amazon. I get there's people saying that. I'm not quite on that bus, to be honest with you.
What are the executive at Amazon that they're not going to go, right?
Soccer.
Yeah, this is what I mean. What to make money? Maybe they do want to make content, but are they asked about if they win stuff? Have the all or nothings with Tottenham done well? Yeah, they have. What did they win? Fuck all.
Forgot about that. There's a City one as well, wasn't there?
I didn't watch the City one.
I saw the one that Spurs won with Jose Mourinho trying to convince Dele Alli not to throw his career away and failing. Yeah.
That's people keep bringing that up all the time. Every time Dele Alli gets mentioned, people mention that very moment.
What blew my mind was Eric Dyer going into Jose's office and
they start speaking Portuguese. What's going on here?
Eric Dyer grew up in Portugal.
And Jose's like, I've always liked you. I was going to buy you years ago. Yeah, of course you were. Do you know what I mean?
We were getting linked to him a couple of times.
Well, I'm glad we swerved that one. Personally, you know, you may be an Eric Dyer fan, but I'm not. David, give me your Wally of the Week.
The Argentina manager for not taking Alejandro Garnacho.
and not playing Martinez.
Yeah, and not playing Martinez. He's just
When I saw Martinez is coming on, I got excited until I realised it was Lozano. He had a very good final, didn't he? Did really well.
That guy stinks. He's so bad.
What happened with him? I thought Conte, he was good.
I seen someone tweet and they were like, Conte must be the best manager in the world to have like Martinez and Lukaku playing that well like for like 2 seasons.
I thought the Dutch game was bad for him. But was it the Dutch game where he
he wasn't just that. There was a couple throughout the time.
Well, the Saudi Arabia game.
I went to that and every single 2 minutes it was like offside goal. Sorry, Martinez.
That cameo against France.
Give up.
It was genuinely as bad as it could have been.
The fact, if Messi didn't score that.
Well, he shot him about, like,
he should have passed it to Messi there.
And that header, which was like a clearance. I mean, he's got a World Cup winner's medal, so fair play to him.
You know, it was funny. It was like, I quote tweeted it in the final, but I think a couple of weeks ago I was like, I can feel like Otamendi or what's his name, Lautaro Martinez, just a mistake that's just going to rob Messi from this World Cup, and both of them in that final. Otamendi?
Otamendi, yeah, nearly threw away.
But you know, I'm glad Lissandro like had enough influence to show his ability at the top, but also keep fit for Man United.
Yeah, he did. He played like 112 minutes in the quarters. I think he played in.
Happens, by the way, with like, because it's such a weird occasion now, because obviously it's in the winter, the World Cup. I wonder if the Argentina players will go to Argentina and celebrate. Because everyone, like, the club football's back, isn't it?
They are flying home, I think.
They must
have
a parade.
Yeah, you
can't. I mean, at least
imagine
day.
If you didn't.
Yeah, they're kind of, yeah, just it's summertime, lads, as well.
But Burnley on Wednesday, I've got time for this. Do you know what I mean? We'll do a video call. No, I imagine there's going to be a little break for Martinez and also Varane as well. That's the final, didn't win, but he had a very
There has
moment.
To be. I mean, like, it's been.
He, I felt sorry for Varane, man. He's just different class, isn't he? Who's your Wally of the Week, then?
I hate this because I've not thought of anyone.
Can be anyone you want.
I can't think.
Right, I'll come back to me. I'll come back to you.
Give me
George, the Wally of the Week is self-explanatory. Anyone from any walk of life that you think has been a Wally this week or last week?
Was it a week? Has it been within a week that England lost to France and I can pick that fucking referee?
I'm all for a bit of that. I mean, I'm sure producer Ethan will be on board with that one. Yep. He was raging with that referee, and Dave will be as well. So yeah, if you want to do that.
Failing that, Jeremy Clarkson.
Oh, you've nicked mine. Yeah, well, he's not nicked it. He's just a horrible fucking piece of shit.
Yeah,
I don't know. I've seen his your quote tweet saying it's a shit apology.
Yeah,
but I've not seen what he actually did originally.
Let's put it this way: he was that bad. His own daughter came out and said. I'm not going to repeat it, said, I can't believe he said that. I don't agree what he said, and he shouldn't be saying things like that. And 24 hours later, he's done this non-apology. And I think if my daughter was posting things on social saying, I can't believe what my dad's done, I'm pretty ashamed of him, I'd be devastated. But he won't be, because he's got no shame, because he's a fucking idiot.
You know what? I found it. I'm going to follow this guy. I found it. I found the Wally of the week.
You have it written down somewhere? Go on.
The Wally of the week, and mine is, you know, I'm going to follow in this guy's footsteps, but for France, and say Deschamps for not calling up Tony Marshall when he had the opportunity, because that game would have ended 6-3. It would have been like the City game, but the other way around.
I'm with you on the Marcus stuff. I'm with you all the way. I am. The amount of tweets I've been liking from you lately is ridiculous. I like Tony M, but
I'm having a laugh, obviously, because I always go in on Tony when he had his little, you know, bad patch for us. But yeah, it was interesting though how France didn't call anyone up.
Because got injured, didn't he? Benzema
and Nkunku, so they left two spots like empty.
Yeah, they didn't replace them there. Because apparently maybe that Benzema was still eligible to go back.
Apparently he offered to stay there because he said I'll be fit in like 2 weeks, and then he was playing friendlies for Madrid like 3 days ago. And then he retired today. So something weird's got on there.
Do you know what? I'm not even going to go with Clarkson because you've already picked him. I'm going to go with Emmanuel Macron.
Man.
Bro,
see, I didn't think hard enough. That would have been mine.
That was.
It was brilliant.
That was.
I felt like
there
was something that I wanted to find.
Leave me alone, right? If you don't know what I'm on about, the France have lost the World Cup final. Mbappe's beside himself. Macron was over there, wasn't he? Hugging him, ruffling his hair, trying to console him. And Mbappe didn't even acknowledge at any point that he was there. He didn't. He didn't talk to him. He didn't smile at him. Or not smile, but he didn't look at him. It was just like he was just waiting for this man to leave him alone.
Oh, it was the whole tournament as well. It not the whole cringe. Tournament, but like...
It was so cringe.
The knockout stage is when, obviously, that's when guys like him make their way there. It's like...
Oh, do you know what? This is a good one, Chris Owen. What about Aguero celebrating like he was?
Oh, God.
He proper Terry John Terry, didn't he?
Yeah. John Terry did, didn't he?
Even Terry was making fun of him. Yeah, well, at least put the shin pads on.
Yeah, at least Terry played a bit in that tournament or whatever. But yeah, that was.
Guy was in the dressing room holding the trophy. And he went a bit
like,
too
you
hard.
Know, like, oh, world champion or like, no, you don't get, you're not a world champion just because you're there. It's not how it works.
To be fair, though, I will say
we were at the game.
Yeah, we were at the game world champion now. Like, that Salt Bae's world champion because he was in the game.
To be fair, it is a bit unfortunate though, because he would have been. I know we're Reds and
did
that.
Did he even play in the qualifiers for Argentina?
No, he didn't.
He retired quite a lot.
Yeah, it was a while ago, wasn't it? So yeah. you can't even say that.
Did he only play once for Barcelona?
Did he even play in the Copa? Oh, that's sad. That if he's not won the Copa or the World Cup, that is actually
well,
sad.
Think, you know, he's
not that sad.
Though. Don't know. No. I'm not about to feel too much sympathy for his medal haul when you consider what he did win at them. Bastards.
Well, forget saves.
Don't remember that.
Exactly. I can't remember when they drew the league that time.
You know who's good in that final? Yeah. You know good in that well final done. That we won't forget
joint
about?
Joint winners.
Di Maria.
Oh, do you know what? Like, there was a part of me when he was sat on the sidelines and it looked like Mbappe had turned it around, it was kind of buzzing a little bit.
It reminded
you. Yeah. Like, that was a bit like...
It reminded like. You of full time, you know, in that PSG game. Do you know when De Gea made that last punch, like the save, and then the camera pans to him and he's like... And he looks like he's just dead. Like that's it. The soul, like his soul's been taken out of him.
Just quickly, finished. That's got to be the worst thing I've ever seen in football. When De Gea punched that.
Oh, I don't know what he was thinking,
bro. Yeah, I always forget about that.
I remember that was lunacy. I really hope with Sandro Martinez, it's been like, God, I love it in Manchester. They love me. They've made this huge banner with a meat cleaver and everything. Oh. And Manchester's great. The fans are great. And I really hope Di Maria was just in the earshot of that.
Martinez did a thing with a couple of the lads at work and they interviewed him before the World Cup. And he was like, I can't wait to be a World Cup winner. As in, like, I'm winning the World Cup. Like, he wasn't having anything other than that.
I'm amazed at how mint he is and how, do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't know a lot about him before we got him. I knew he'd obviously done very well at Ajax, but he's just mint, isn't he? He's just quality. Everything so about him, like the way he sort of gets everyone going.
Has Carragher changed his tune yet? Or is he still saying he's not good enough?
No, he just keeps giving like but you know, when you come to the Premier League,
you've got to give him time to make a decision. But you made that decision after two games, didn't you? Joe Smith called him out on it when he went on the...
No, that was good. Joe's response on it was spot on.
The overlap. George, it's always a pleasure to have you on the channel. Hopefully get you on a bit more often. You on the socials and all that? Is there a place where people can find you?
Yeah, I'm at Zutroy85 on Twitter. Zutroy85.
Go and check him out on the Bird app, as Ronaldo Brown would say. Abdullah, where can people find you and what you're up to?
On the Bird app, AbdulGH_ on Twitter. Just tweeting rubbish about football. So
that's what we do. That's what we do best. David Pritt, where can people find your...
Look hard enough to
pro Brexit agenda.
You're horrible, you.
I'm only joking. I was joking with Dave. He's
not. Like, can we just say, right? We've been doing a watch along, me and him, recently. For some, my mum saw me Twitter or know, Instagram or something. Thought, I'll have a quick watch of this, and he's calling me a Brexiteer, racist, and all this.
He's not right. He's not.
Is the thing is, when something's said like that on Paddock, it just sticks.
Got my mum worried about me thinking I've joined the NF or something.
He's relatively liberal. Where can people find you, Mr. Paddock?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter and stuff.
Yeah, you know where to find him. And we'll be having the Academy review coming back as well soon. We'll have loads of good videos coming back. We're going to have the transfer podcast, the Tier 1 transfer podcast coming back. Obviously, we've got a watch along for the Burnley game. We've got a preview out tomorrow of Adam McCullough for the Burnley game. Make sure you are liking, sharing and subscribing. Big thanks to our sponsors as well. There's links in the description to all that. And don't forget about the event on the 30th of December in Dublin. Come down to there if you can. We're going to be there with Brian McClair, big United legend. So we're looking forward to that. Big thanks to all you guys for joining me on this podcast today. Big thanks to everyone who got involved. And don't forget as well, we've got the 12 Days of Paddock. Join our membership. You can win a prize, including £500. So there's a link in the chat for that as well. The 12 Days of Paddock and extra content over on the membership section. This has been the Paddock Podcast with George, Dave, Abdullah, and me, Jay. Thanks for watching. Sports Social Podcast Network.